everyone. My name is Julia Cardoso, and you're listening to Anxious Ramblings. Here we're going to speak about all the crazy thoughts in your head that you're afraid to say out loud. So, I'm back, guys. I hope you guys didn't miss me too much. And I just want to apologize for being MIA this past, basically, month. I haven't published a podcast because it was finals week. And I was getting really overwhelmed with the final studying, and my anxiety was getting really, really bad, and I was still applying to grad school, and all that stuff just got to me, and I thought that taking a little break from the podcast would be best, and I'm back now, so don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. So for this episode, I want to talk about the barriers to mental health treatment, and specifically, I'm going to focus on what I find to be the top three barriers, which are stigma, definitely is number one, finances, and the mental health system itself. So as you know, stigma is a really horrible consequence of people that judge those with mental illnesses. And it enables people to reach out and really get help for their illness. And 2/3 of people with mental illnesses do not even get treated from it. And this is definitely due to the stigma, and it's so unacceptable. And most of the people who I've interviewed in past episodes, I've always asked them this question, like, have you ever experienced stigma? What type of stigma have you experienced? Like, how have you dealt with it? Or how has stigma impacted your life? And this is what some of them have to say.
Stigmatized. Does that mean, like, stereotyped?
Yeah.
Like, put in a box?
Yep.
And pointed at and laughed at.
Yep.
Yep, I did. I have.
Like, I see the stigma. I can, like, physically see the stigma.
Yeah, the stigma comes from my family. Like, I remember my dad saying, be a man about
it. So I guess, you know, it can get to the point where you can find out who your real friends are when they stop hanging around with you when you're going through something.
Since I was a child, I've always tried to hide it because I was bullied to begin with. So if I was bullied for something people didn't understand.
Especially at work. Work is the main thing, you know. Constantly being told to, like, talk more and interact more with other colleagues and all that sort of stuff. That's probably where it comes in worst, I think.
They just sort of look at you like, you're not disabled, you're just lazy.
Exactly.
And it's really horrible. Stigma is so deeply embedded in our society that, like, people, like, automatically react really weird. They're just like, oh, mental illness? Like, what? You know?
As you can see, stigma is so common for people with mental illnesses. Actually, 3 out of 4 people with mental illnesses experience some type of stigma. And I just want to clarify a little bit for those who haven't heard my first podcast. On the first podcast, that's when I really go into, like, what stigma actually is and the real impacts of it. But for those who may not know, stigma is a negative label, stereotype, and prejudice that socially excludes people based on their appearance, behavior, belief, in this case, also based on their mental illnesses. And some of the negative effects that stigma causes are shame, fear, maybe a sense of hopelessness. And the worst case scenario is the inability and reluctancy to ask for help. And that can lead to horrible things such as suicide and things that we don't even want to think about. And the reason why I feel like stigma is a barrier is because it makes people feel like they're weak for asking for help or they're weak for having a mental illness, when actually it's not that way at all. People with mental illnesses are not weak, and it's just a chemical imbalance that we have to deal with and we have to face each and every day. And just like someone who broke their leg has to get treated for it and go to physical therapy and all that, we also need therapy for our mental illnesses, and the stigma should not make people feel like they can't go out and get help, because there's so much out there available, and the fact that people are dying and killing themselves over this issue is horrible, and it needs to change ASAP. And another barrier to mental health treatment that I find and I've dealt with personally has to be finances and the cost of the treatment. And studies have shown that as the use of mental health mental health services fall as the cost rises and it increases with better insurance coverage. And this is so obvious because people, when the costs are higher, people are going to be reluctant to take care of the mental health and would rather take care of things that they feel is more important, which is wrong, but their physical health. And people who have better insurance coverage, they go and they get the help. And when you compare it to other health services, the demand for mental health services is much more reactive to costs than others. So, like, for example, I can definitely see why. It's because a couple months ago I injured my knee, and I also was having anxiety issues, and I definitely put my knee injury first. I went to physical therapy, and I made sure that that was covered and taken care of, but I wasn't able to really get much out of my insurance with the mental health and the behavioral health services. So I can see how mental health services is really reactive to the cost in relation to physical health services. And in relation to finances, health insurance is a huge barrier. And just because someone has health insurance doesn't mean that they're going to get mental health treatment. And nowadays, insurance companies place really, really difficult restrictions on mental health services in comparison to other physical health services. And I see this myself when I started at a new hospital and I got a new primary care position and everything was good. And I was trying to get a psychiatrist in the behavioral health center, and I find out that I'm not covered at that hospital, and even if I was covered, it was going to take 2 months for me to see someone new, and I have to fill out all of these paperwork, and there's so much restrictions that my health insurance placed on me just trying to help my mental health. And this is also something that causes a huge barrier for people trying to get help. And the third barrier that I've noticed is the flawed mental health system itself. People who have been trying to get help as much as they can definitely attest to this issue, with the frustrations of the long waiting time and just the disorganization of the system. And a lot of this can be caused by things that have happened in the past within the mental health system, such as reform movement, disproportionate distribution of funds, and isolated health services. And the issue of isolated health services is especially a problem with those with co-occurring health issues. So those who have, like for example, someone who may have diabetes and also depression. The fact that mental health and physical health professionals aren't really communicating as well as they should be can cause an issue, because we never know where those two illnesses can overlap, and the two doctors or the two systems speaking to each other can really help the patient feel like they're on a path to wellness, on a path to recovery from their whole body and not just two separate things, which is how healthcare should be seen. It should be seen as a wellness or a recovery of your whole health, and not, let me take care of my mental health, let me take care of my physical health. It's your health. And another problem is people having a doctor, one doctor in this hospital, another doctor in the other hospital. That's the same thing that happened to me. I have my primary care physician at one hospital. Since I wasn't covered there for my behavioral health, I have to go to another hospital in a completely different town just to have that care available to me. And that can cause huge barriers and huge lack of communication between my physical and mental health professionals who are trying to treat me. And another flaw in the mental health system that I've noticed is the transition from in-care patient to community-based care. And studies have shown that this is where a lot of suicides and where a lot of people relapse is during that transition from being someone who was in a mental health facility and who was taken care of, who was given their treatment, given the medication, their therapy, and then to be released into the community with not much help out there for you, that's where things start to go downhill. And a lot of research, I feel, and a lot of time needs to go into finding a better way to transition people from being inpatients to being out there in the community and into community-based care. Another part of the mental health system that is definitely flawed is a lack of availability to quality service. So, for example, like I said before, is having to wait 2 months or a month and a half to see a psychiatrist, or if you're a new patient, like you have to go through so much just to get that first initial treatment, which you really need ASAP. And especially, and this can be seen especially in rural areas and areas that have lots of minority populations. And this is crazy because some people I've spoken with said that they have to basically claim that they are suicidal in order to be seen really quickly, which they actually are not suicidal. And that's crazy to me because it shouldn't have to be that way. If someone needs to be seen immediately, they should have that option. Just like someone can be seen in an emergency room for anything that happens to them physically, they should also be seen for their mental health issues. So these barriers to mental health treatment exist. And I was wondering, how can we begin to break down these barriers as a society? How can we make sure that people do not have to go through this any longer? And the first thing that I can say is to start speaking up, start telling your stories about mental illness, about the stigmas that you faced, about the discriminations that you face at school and the workplace because of your mental illness. You don't have to suffer in silence anymore. Now is your chance to really speak out and tell people what you're going through, because there's so many others out there who are going through the same things and who can really relate to what you're going through and who can stand behind you through this. And another way that we can break down the barriers as a society is to focus on education and affirmations. Really educating today's society about mental illnesses, about stigma, and the truth about the fact that these issues impact a lot of people, and it's not something that we should exclude, that we should socially exclude people from. It's something that we should welcome everyone into, really showing the world a part of them that they've been afraid to show their whole life. And I think that part of that is to start off by educating the youth and letting them know that if you have this issue, that it's okay, and it's okay to have mental health issues, and it's not nothing that you should ever be ashamed of, and you shouldn't let the stigma or cost or the mental health system really stop you from getting help. And another way that we can break down these barriers is to reach out to those in need and just think to yourself, if you know that someone is out there, or if you know someone in your family or someone you work with or a friend who is struggling with something like anxiety or depression, bipolar disorder, like, reach out to them. You may not understand what they're going through, but just let them know that it's okay and you are here for them as much as that you can be. And now is really the time to start speaking out about these issues, because they are becoming more and more common in today's society. Now we see a lot more in the media about suicides and about depression and anxiety, and it's something that is catching a lot of people's attention, so now is the perfect time to speak up. You no longer have to suffer in silence. That's all for today. I want to thank everyone who made this episode possible, my Tumblr followers, my music composer Elise, my audio editor Jean, and I also want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter at Anxious Survivor, and you can email me at anxietysurvivor@gmail.com, and also check out my website, which is anxiousramblings.squarespace.com. Thank you all for listening. Have a happy new year.